That was awesome. You guys are fantastic, man. That is so good. And thank you for the, don't you love the little musical interlude? I do, man. That's worth it. Yeah. That stirs the soul. You know, the reason I love that song is because the music goes with the words. You know, this means yes, this means no, it needs some help. You know, what are we saying? I mean, you're asking the Lord something bold, which I think is why some of us just kind of listen and look and go, I don't know if I want to do that or not. Like, God, consume me from the inside out. Like, I'm more interested in your glory and your fame than I am my own. Like, let's just go ahead and call them back up. Let's have the invitation now. I mean, where are we at? Because here's the deal. I mean, we give ourselves to one another in marriage. We go to school. We have kids. We work hard. We accumulate goods and wealth and land and homes and vehicles. And if we're not careful, we can spend all of our time doing all this stuff, and we get to the end of our life and we look back and we didn't do what God made us to do. I got the privilege of marrying Jake, Ray, and Carrie, formerly Lamon, now Ray, which was fun to walk in and they go, are you here for the lemon wedding? I said, no, it's Lamon. And you're the wedding coordinator, you should know that. Anyway, no, I didn't say that, but I thought it. Anyway, so... Isn't it fun just to be human sometimes? Yeah. So I went to the wedding and it was just a reminder of the gospel to see a husband and a wife. You couldn't help but think, but like, you know, Christ and his church and what that wedding feast is going to be like. Like, that's not, you understand, that's not like a pie in the sky, like just for your grandma's faith, right? Right? Like, I think we need a reality check sometimes that's where we're going. Amen? You know, and so, but so much of our life is lived for temporal things. So much of our understanding and what we do is on temporary stuff. And what a tragedy to get to the end and look back and him go, but I made you to share what I gave you. I made you to tell the good news. I made you to spread the gospel throughout all the world. And as soon as I say in those words, you guys just kind of check out a little bit. Yeah, Pastor, we've heard that before. Yeah. But no, really, like, what? Do we really believe what we sing and say? Like, really? So here's the first question for you. And I know if you have a Bible, open up with me. I know what time it is, by the way, okay? Check in. I wonder if he knows. Does he know? I know what time it is. And I'm not sweating it at all. Ha, ha, ha. Anyway, so, not. Yeah, praise the Lord, yeah. They'll wait, trust me. First question, and I said, I'm not being silly, okay? Are you a follower of Jesus? All right, that's the question. Are we a follower of Jesus? We follow lots of things, like Twitter. They nailed it, all right? When the guy's creator, or ladies, whoever it was that decided what a tweet was, okay? When they created this whole program of Twittering, the whole, like, what? How are you an awesome Twitterer? Not if you tweet 5,000 tweets in a year, but if you have a lot of what? Come on. Followers, yeah. And then what can you do on Facebook as you're, like, rolling through the feed? And, you know, there's always that one person that's just... nasty all the time. You know what I'm talking about? And I love the fact that you just go, bloop, unfollow, bloop, done. You know, and the great part is you can unfollow them without them knowing. You know? That's not the way it works with Jesus. It's just not. It's not the way it works with Jesus. You're either a follower of Jesus or you're not. And I'm not asking the question, are you a Christian? Because that comes with a lot of baggage, doesn't it, sometimes in our vernacular, you know? I'm not asking that question. What I'm asking is, are you a follower of Jesus? Do you follow Christ? The concept of who we follow is what ultimately marks our lives. So I'll ask the question again. And you ask yourself, am I a follower of Jesus? Some of you in this room may actually say no today. I'm not a follower of Jesus. Good. There's some good things that you need to hear today from God's word. Some of you may say yes. Good. There's some good things that you need to hear today from God's word. If you're a follower of Jesus, though, okay, so let's, for those of you in the room who say yes, I want you to understand you've been saved for a purpose. And I picked that word carefully because it's in the text, saved. Some people are like, that's too religious language now. Let's not talk about that. Look, here's the deal. You were lost and going to hell, and Jesus came and saved you. It's a good word. It's a good soteriological word for you theological studs in the room, okay? All right, and studesses in the room, all right? I mean, saved is a good word. You were saved for a purpose. You were saved from death, from hell, from eternal separation from God for a purpose. And by the way, it's all the same for all of you and me. You don't have to find your purpose. We spend so much time talking about finding our purpose in life. I mean, people write books on this mess, and Jesus made it clear. My purpose is two things, and they go together. It's not either or. The enjoyment of God and the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. The enjoyment of God and the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. So here's where people get off, though. Sometimes we like to put a period after enjoyment. My purpose is enjoyment. Wrong. Some of us even like to put a period who think we're spiritual at the end of God. My purpose is the enjoyment of God, period. No, and really, technically, we could take the and change it to an as. My purpose is the enjoyment of God as I spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. Like, you want to know what the purpose of life is? There you go. And you're like, well, where'd you get that? I'm glad you asked. You guys ask awesome questions. There's a great commission in all of Scripture, and it happens twice. The first one is in Genesis 1:28. First is in Genesis 1:28. Here's what it says. The Great Commission in the First Testament, all right? Some people call it the Old Testament. I'm reading a man named Daniel Block, wrote a book called For the Glory of God, and he calls it the First Testament. I love it. I love it because it's just God's first testament to us. It's his first testimony to us. The New Testament's just newer. The Great Commission, the First Testament, is Genesis 1:28. God blessed them. That's the enjoyment of God, right? Right? If God blesses you, do you like it? This means yes, right? Yeah, like, you're not loud enough, okay? You know, like, yeah, if God blessed you, is it good? You better believe it's good. It's so good. I went to a Catholic funeral, Andy's dad. I'm jacked up, man. I went to his dad's funeral this week. And the whole time, here's the great part. You go to a liturgical service, and some people are like, well, I'm an evangelical, and I don't do it this way. Well, that's fine. The gospel's in the whole thing. The whole thing, all of liturgy, it's all about Jesus. It's all pointing to him. Now, whether or not you believe it or not, it's another story. We come to church, we sing these songs. They're awesome. And you can leave and totally miss the enjoyment of God for the spread of the gospel, the end stage. You might have even thought, you know, Mike talked a little too long. Candy, man, why? Just wrap it up and move on. We get it. Are you kidding me? Did you hear what she said? Did you hear what she said? She said, one day I'm going to get there, and if my friends aren't there, I'll cry. I want them there. Now, praise God, we know what the end says. When we get there, there'll be no more tears, right? Amen, hallelujah. But on this side, there's a lot. This is the stuff of life. So that's the first commission. So he said, he blessed them, the enjoyment of God, and he said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth with worshipers of God, all right, and subdue it. That's spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth. Your great commission in the First Testament. I'm getting so excited, I'm just knocking this thing off. Second great commission happened in Matthew 28. you glad it's Genesis 28 and then Matthew 28. So the Great Commission in the New Testament, Matthew 28, says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, the enjoyment of God, right? If God's with you, that's good, right? And at the end, he says, and behold, I'm with you to the very ends of the age. If God's with you, that's good, right? That's the enjoyment of God. Then the second thing, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. That's the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. Jesus made it real clear. The purpose of your life is the enjoyment of God as you spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. So that's going to help us as we answer some of these questions, all right? Because he recapitulated in Acts 1:8 before he ascended into heaven. He looks at him, he said, my Holy Spirit, my power will come on you. That's the blessing of God, right? That's the enjoyment of God. I don't know about you. If I get power from God, you think I'm going to enjoy it? You better believe it. That's the enjoyment of God. So the power of God, and then he says to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And some people think real hard geographically about that. Here's real simple. Jerusalem is simply this. Jerusalem are people who look like you and smell like you who live near you. Judea are people who look like you and smell like you. They live a little further away. Same color skin, all right? Samaria are people who look nothing like you who live right beside you. They don't have the same culture you do, but they live near you. And then the ends of the earth, the people don't have your culture and they live far away. And guess who we're supposed to care and love for? All of them. I love you, church, man. It's good. So some of us, though, have been following Jesus. I'm going to say something that might be a little hard. And you might be like, I don't know that I want to come to church here anymore. And for some of you, that might be a good thing. I don't know. Some of us have been following Jesus for 10, 20 years, 30 years. And we've never shared Jesus with anyone. Never. Some of us have never led people to Christ, but you can't lead anybody to Christ if you never shared Jesus with them. And it's not because we haven't had opportunities. You pass people every day. You say, you mean somebody in Walmart? Yeah. You mean somebody at the grocery store? Yeah. You mean somebody like at my wherever I go to eat? Yeah, like restaurant. That's what it's called. Yeah. And then I'm getting my mom's disease. It's bad. You know, I think I can only just preach, I think, for a few more years because the word just leave. Anyway, so, but it's not because we haven't had the opportunity. It's because we haven't taken the opportunity for a variety of different reasons, whether we're fearful, we don't want rejection, we lack the confidence and the knowledge we have. But here's the deal. Nick Ripken, how many people came to see that movie, The Insanity of God, right? Insanity of God. So we came to see it. Nick Ripken said this. He said, here's the deal. If we don't share Jesus, we identify with the persecutor, not the persecuted. Because the whole deal with religious persecution is to shut you up. So if you're already shut it up, okay, because of fear of whatever, then you identify with the persecutors. You identify with the Marxists. You identify with the communists, not with the free. Let that resonate for a minute. I know that kind of hurts your feelings a little bit. It kind of hurts to say it. Because I think about the times where I keep my mouth shut. When we live as captives to our sin or our fears, when we've been given freedom by our Savior who died for us, we do not honor his sacrifice. We honor the enemy of our spiritual freedom. And then when we live as captives to the culture around us and we keep our faith to ourselves, when we've been given freedom to share our faith by the men and women who died, then we don't honor their sacrifice. We honor the terrorists and the vicious dictators of history and those who seek to silence religious freedom. When we keep our mouths shut. So God's word, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm not mad, I'm just passionate, okay? I want you to stand with me as we read this, and I want you to, if you have a pen or pencil or highlighter, I want you to just underline or circle whenever we get to the word right, okay, right. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And verse 1 says, am I not free, Paul's writing? Now, he just got done talking about food sacrifice idols. Talked about that last week. And the sermon wasn't about Mountain Dew, if you were here. It wasn't about Mountain Dew. Hopefully, I got that question. So can I drink Mountain Dew? I'm like, you're free to drink. Enjoy. All right. Am I not free? Verse 1. Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my workmanship in the Lord? If to others I'm not an apostle, at least I am to you. For you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. This is my defense to those who would examine me. Do we not have the what? Right to eat and drink. There's the first one. Do we not have the what? Right. To take along a believing wife. There's the second one. As do the other apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas. Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no what? Right to refrain, the third one, from working for a living. Who serves as a soldier? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard without eating any of its fruit? Who tends a flock without getting some of the milk? He's saying, look, I got the right. I do. Do I say these things on human authority? Does the law say the same? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. Is it for oxen that God is concerned? And the answer is no. Does he not certainly speak for our sake? Is it written for our sake because the plowman should plow in hope and the thresher thresh in hope of sharing in the crop? If we have sown spiritual things among you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? If others share this what? What's that word? Rightful. There's the fourth one. Claim on you, do we not even more? Nevertheless, we've not made use of this what? Right. There's this fifth one. But we endure anything. You need to highlight this. But we endure anything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ. Would that be the theme of our lives? Do you not know that those who are employed in the temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in the sacrificial offerings? In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. But I have made no use of any of these what? Right, number six, nor am I writing these things to secure any such provision, for I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of my ground for boasting. For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting. Now, before you get caught up with Paul using the word boasting, you're like, wait a minute, boasting's a sin. Paul said earlier, I boast in the what? Cross. The grounds for his boasting is the cross. What Candy was doing earlier, she was boasting about the cross, not about herself. You follow me? Okay? So don't quantify this as Paul bragging. He's not bragging, all right? Where were we? Verse 16, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not my own will, I am still entrusted with a stewardship. What then is my reward? That in my preaching, I may present the gospel free of charge so as not to make full use of my what? Right, it's the seventh one in the gospel, last one. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not myself being under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all means I might save what? Some. So that means you're going to go on a mission project. It means you're going to go to school. You're going to go to work. You're going to go and you're going to tell the story of the gospel, and not everybody's going to believe you. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, though, that I may share with them in its blessing. Verse 24, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all these things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Wow. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the good news in your word. God, thank you for the reading of your word, the hearing of your word. Lord, may now the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, God, be pleasing to you. God, you're my rock and my redeemer. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. So this text, before I jump into a couple other things, just three simple points. Before I do that, gives me an opportunity to say one thing to you. I just want to take this opportunity to thank you. To thank you for your support of me and my family and the other pastors on behalf of them and their families, to say thank you for the way that you give so that we can live. That's not lost on me as I read this text here. And I just want to, on behalf of them, say thank you for your continued stewardship. Just a portion of that money goes so that we can live and do what we do and proclaim the gospel freely without hindrance and thinking, I've got to do some things to make some money so I can do that, but you guys give, and we're grateful for that. It's also not lost on me on what this church has been through for the last year, okay? And I just wanted to hit the pause button here, and I think it's part of the text. It just has to come out of it just to, one, say thanks to God for what he does. In January, our church was about 80% budget that month, which put us about $30,000 to $35,000 behind. But throughout February, March, and April, and May, you have made up all but about $7,000 of that in your giving. So now we're at 97% of our budget. So praise be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, I think it's worthy to praise him for. And I also want to take a moment to say thank you for the way that you have been giving to the Ready Project. The Ready Project funds were used to pay in cash for the water line that we just put in. We didn't go into debt for that. Praise the Lord. And there's more money coming in for the Ready Project. Now, you may ask the question, what are we going to do with those funds next? I don't know. I don't have any plans, but I know the one who has the plans. Amen. You know what I mean? So right now, we're going to continue to give to that so that when God shows us what to do next, we don't have to borrow any money for it. Amen. You know? And that's the commitment. And I want you to know, as your pastor, I have no desire to go into debt as a church. I have no desire to put us in a predicament to where we have no cash on hand. Does that make sense? But, and let me put a big but on that, all right? I also don't want to just store money here and not give money to the nations so that others may hear and live. Do you follow me? You hear me? And that's a tenuous balance that we have to walk together as a body of believers. So here's what I'm asking. Pray for me. Pray for your church leadership who gathered for the first time, these new leaders that were appointed this past Thursday night, and we spent 2.5 hours just praying and sharing with one another. That's it. That's it. Good men, godly men on our website. Our plan is to put their faces up there so that everyone can see who they are, so there's no question about who they are. They'll have video testimonies of what they... We ask simple questions like, why are you even here? Like, why do you feel called to serve in this direction? What's the whole purpose of that? By the way, this is nothing new. These guys have always believed that. It's not like this is some new thing that they've done, but they've simply said, one guy is Greg Ayers. He said this, and I just found it completely amazing that I'm doing this wedding the next day. And this is what he says about Jake Ray. He said, when we first moved here, I didn't even want to come to Parkway. I'm like, wow, we were that bad, huh? He's like, no, it did not meet my list. It wasn't on my list of churches to come to. It was 30 minutes away when we wanted to go to somewhere closer where we live in our community. He said, but my wife finally convinced me, you know, okay, it's time to visit. We're going to go. Okay, great. So Saturday, we're going to drive out because I didn't want to come to a service because I didn't want to, like, get addicted to people or anything like that. So, you know, so he said, we came on a Saturday just to kind of see what was up. And as he pulled onto this road, there were signs about free pizza. And so he's like, oh, great, there are going to be people there. So they pulled on and they came in the back. And sure enough, a bunch of red t-shirts were giving out free pizza. You guys remember that a few years back? And so he said, the first person that walked up to him was an 11th grade boy named Jake Ray. And he walked up, he said, you look new. My name's Jake. And he spent an hour with him talking to him about what we did as a church and all this stuff. And they said, they were like, this is an 11th grader? Like a high school student can talk to us and is familiar with this church? Whatever's going on there, we want some of that. And so they came back the next day. And praise the Lord, they've been here. Mary Kay and Greg are really cool people. If you don't know that, like, get to know them, okay? I mean, like, they've had one child that spent years in, like, the Middle East, all right, as a missionary. Does that make them cooler people? No, it makes them people dedicated and sold out for this purpose, for the enjoyment of God and the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. Don't you want people like that praying about where God's leading us? Amen? Amen. You guys aren't as excited as I am. All right, so I know you're still looking at your watch like, is he gonna? I don't know. All right, I don't know, all right? Get over it, all right? Put it aside, put it in your pocket, stop looking at it. It's a distraction. All right, so here's the deal. Man, I'm excited this morning. Yeah. Anyway, so, this is so good. Don't even have time for all of that. I'm so sad. It's like, there's a page gone. Anyway, so, I prayed over that, you know? But anyway, Here's the three things, because these are important. How do I live my life then, okay, so that others may hear and live? How do I become like a Jake Gray? All right, now I'm not saying Jake gets it perfect. I'm going to say Greg and Mary Kay get it perfect. They're not. They're fallen people. They smell sometimes. Other than they're good, though. Here's the first thing, though. Look, how do I live my life so that others may hear and live and may be saved, okay? Number one, I surrender my rights for the sake of the gospel. That's what Paul's saying. He's like, look, I had a right to take a paycheck, but I didn't in this circumstance, I didn't. Some people look at that as like, oh, well, that means we're not supposed to pay any pastors. That's not, Paul took money in 2 Corinthians. He also took money in Philippians chapter 4. Paul's not saying I don't take money. Church leaders shouldn't take pastors. That's not what he's saying. He's saying in this regard, it would have been a distraction for what I was trying to do in Corinth. So I laid down my rights. And here's the deal for us. It's the first thing. I surrender my rights to the gospel. It makes no sense for us to stand beside the cross and insist upon our rights. To stand beside a resurrected Savior bleeding for us and go, but it's my right. That makes no sense. We have the right to go to school. We have the right to go to college. We have people, though, from our fellowship at Parkway who have surrendered their rights to an American lifestyle in order to proclaim the gospel. Did you know you have people who gave up their rights to live in the burbs to move to Richmond so that in different parts of the city, they could better be conduits of grace? And they drive 25 minutes, 35 minutes sometimes just to fellowship here, just to get their worship on with us, their fellowship on, and then they go back so they can be missionaries to people groups that they live in. Do you know that people like that out of this church? They lay down their rights. And I'm not saying that all of us need to do that. I don't know if God calls us to. Great. Maybe we should all just pick up and pick one community. That'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it? You know, but I don't think that's what God's calling us to do, because that's weird and cultic, right? Yeah, so God would rather take all of us and what he calls us and spread us out throughout this whole community so that we might draw people in to the gospel. Amen? So what are we going to do? We're going to lay down our rights. So then the second thing is the cross compels you and me to surrender our rights for the sake of the gospel so that others may hear and may be saved. All right? The cross compels you and I to surrender our rights for the sake of the gospel so that others may hear and be saved. We don't have time for any other illustrations. Second thing, all right, I rearrange my life. I rearrange my life and inconvenience myself for the sake of the gospel. That's what Paul was doing in verse 19. If you look, he says, for though I'm free from all, I've made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became a Jew in order to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not me, myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, though not being outside of the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Paul changes his conversation about rights to freedom, and then he talks about being a slave to all. Slaves have no rights. That I might win more of them. So here's the deal. We rearrange our lives so that others might be saved. We inconvenience ourselves so that others might be saved. So think about this. Jesus saving you frees you to be a slave to God. This truth about rearranging our lives and inconvenience ourselves, this is what baffles people on the mission field. They know the United States. They know all of our affluence. They know all of our comfort. Some of them even dream about it. And when we show up and play in the dirt with their kids and we help with relief efforts or build alongside them, they come up and they go, why would you come here? It makes no sense to us that you would leave where you are and come here. And here's our response. We don't say because we're cool people, because we're not. We say because we're slaves of the one true King. He has done so much for us that we owe this to him so that you might hear the gospel. What does Philippians chapter 2 say? She was referencing the end of Philippians 2 earlier. Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking on the form of a bondservant, a slave. He humbled himself and became obedient, even to the point of death on a cross. Then God resurrected. Man, just awesome stuff. So if I preach the gospel, though, simply put, we're not our own. 1 Corinthians 6. So because you're owned by Christ, you owe Christ to the lost world. Because you are owned by Christ, you owe Christ
to the lost world. Verse 23, he says, I do it all for the sake of the gospel that I might share with them in its blessings. Verse 22, he says, I've become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. So here's the deal. You may have a hard time with that. Wait a minute. I don't like that O language. I don't like the obligation language. Let me just put it like this. Imagine that you don't know Jesus at all. Imagine that you've never heard of him, that you are lost and going to hell. Wouldn't you want someone? Wouldn't you want someone inconveniencing themselves, sacrificing all that they had so that you could hear? Wouldn't you want that? So now on the flip side of that, we're the ones that have it and they don't. Don't we want to be the ones inconveniencing ourselves so that others might hear and live? So here's what we do. We do whatever it takes. And we do what we do wisely, and we wisely contextualize the gospel. Now, some of you like don't like that word, but here's the deal. The fact that Jesus came from heaven and put on flesh contextualized the gospel so that we could understand it. So here's the way to understand that word correctly is we remove every obstacle to sharing the gospel. We remove every obstacle to sharing the gospel, but we do not remove the offense of the gospel. We don't remove it. I'll never forget being at a conference. A man stood up, shared some stuff, and he told kids, you don't want to offend people. And I was the MC of the conference. So I got up and I said, the guy was wrong. And I just said he was wrong because the gospel is offensive. When you stand up and you tell people you're sinners, they're offended. But I would rather offend you so that you could be saved than let you feel better about yourself and watch you go to hell. Amen? Because it's not me calling you a sinner. It's the holiness of God that does that. So we don't remove the offense of the gospel. So your lifestyle right now, ask yourself this question. Is it because you've rearranged your life so that you might proclaim the gospel here in Chesterfield County, Virginia? And as we do this, we never disobey Christ's commands. So that means you don't become drunk in order to win drunks, okay? You don't become a gambler in order to win gamblers. That's not what Paul's saying. But what you do is you spend time with people who may be drunks and gamblers, and you befriend them and you share the gospel of Jesus with them in love. You love them. You don't condemn them because God already has in their sin. So here's what some folks are doing in neighborhoods all over this country is they're spending time with some folks in neighborhoods so they might hear the gospel. So last thing is this, I run my race for the glory of the one true God. He says, I don't run aimlessly, verse 26, but he talks about a boxer. He talks about someone working for this prize. And you guys know what they're talking about, these Olympians, these guys that are athletes that are working. Their crown was literally, their prize was a crown of olive leaves. Like all of this dedication, all of this training for a crown of olive leaves. We have all of this training and all that we do here at church so that others might actually share and become inheritors of the great God and King Jesus Christ. Amen? Isn't that awesome? So the question is for us, are we doing? Are we laying down our rights? Are we inconveniencing ourselves for the gospel? Are we running the race, not running aimlessly, not running away, which disqualifies us from the prize at the end? Some people confuse that ending with disqualifying from salvation, not what Paul's saying. He's saying disqualified from the fact that you actually win people to Christ. I don't want to live my life in such a way that I disqualify myself from the prize of being able to win someone to Jesus. And I don't want you either, because once we pray and go from here, the awesome part is you get sent out to run your race with purpose, to box with purpose. So let's pray. Stand with me. Father God, today, Lord, we humbly come before you, Jesus, and we thank you, God, for your word, your good word. And we so desire, Father, not we desire your glory and your goodness and your good name, Lord, to be proclaimed to the ends of the earth. And Lord, would you help us to sacrifice everything to do that? Lord, would you help us even in this church to maybe sacrifice our hurt Lord, to sacrifice maybe a couple of months and years, Lord, where maybe we're just sad about some things that have happened. Lord, would you help us to even maybe sacrifice that so that others may hear and live? Lord, whatever you want to do, do it. People need to join this fellowship. I pray they would today. People need to come to Christ. I pray they would today. We've got time. We're not in a hurry. Lord, we want to spend this time in this invitation responding to you and your word. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You come as we sing.